This was set. If you knew what I really went through before I got here every Sunday, I earned this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. It's just good to be alive. I've been waiting for this night for so many days. I got my watch night idea figured out back in October. I promised God that if He let me live long enough to get to a watch night, that I wouldn't back up. I'd go ahead and do it anyhow. Amen. I can see now that's already given some of you some pause. You're like, Lord, He gonna beat us up some kind of bad. And He got the mic, so we can't stop Him. No, it's not like that. It's just that, you know, this year has really brought out of us and also put into us some necessary things. There's a word from the Lord where the Gospel of John, where Jesus Himself talks about the pruning process. And He talks about how necessary it is. And oftentimes in our lives, as we have taken one day at a time, in 2012, we've had some pruning situations. Come on, somebody. Amen. And all of it has not been the most pleasant thing that we've had to go through, but God bless us, we did it. Yes. And we got to be honest. Amen. We've got to be honest and admit that sometimes we fought God like hell about the things He was doing to us and the things He wanted to take from us. And we went and stole some of it back. When God turned His back, we went and snuck a little bit more of it, or we started a whole new bad thing. Come on, talk to me. But look at you now. Yeah, look at you. You're not here because you got it right. You're here because He made you righteous. Somebody don't understand that. There's a difference. Listen to me. There's a difference between being right and being given righteousness. And I'm thanking God every day for righteousness. Not the kind that comes by not guilty verdict, or not the kind that comes because they cancel a bill. Not because somebody says, okay, I know you're sorry. I'm talking about when God gives you the past. Yeah, when God says it's over. And I thank God tonight that we are in a place where we can share with like believers the honest assessment of our lives that it's just okay. And we've come tonight to finalize this contract, and prayerfully God will allow us to reenlist into another. And I'm thankful for you tonight. I always fix my mind around the most positive things. And as I came down the hill tonight, intentionally, I came a little later than my family. I wanted to come down the hill and say, man, I can't find nowhere to park. But that's all right, because that's okay, because I really believe that those who love God love to be with Him. And I'm just still believing God, Deacon Davis, for the vision that one day the fire marshal going to come around here and say, hey, I'm telling y'all one more time, y'all had that many people in this church, I'm going to put somebody in jail, and I'm going to say, man, take me. I need this one. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm telling you now, we've got to learn how to live loving God. Listen to me now. This is just setup time. You got to stop playing like you love God.
Come on.
And I know I'm talking to the wrong folk because y'all in here. But some of y'all like to tell everything I say, so you go tell them this. you got to stop playing like you love God, because He knows the difference. See, let me see if I can go back a little bit. Some of you remember how you couldn't wait for that person that you love, mama, daddy, to leave home so you can hurry up and get over there? Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law looking at me like, I know you now. You know, I'm just saying, because the person you love, every opportunity you had to be with them, You hook a crook to be with him. Some of y'all almost got fired from your summer job because you wanted to be with him or her. Some of you used up all your leave time because you wanted to be with him or her. And when God opens up his heart to us, how dare we sporadically long for his appearing? You can't be talking like that in 2013 about how much you long for his appearing and how much you just love the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul. And then you can't be with him all the time. Listen, I'm telling you now, going forward, that you got to live like you love God. And he knows the difference. We ought to set an imperative before ourselves to say that, you know what? I'm not going to live like that no more. I'm going to make sure that I love God and live like I love him. And it's good to know that God is a God of patience and long suffering. But I mean, come on, how long are we going to push him around like that, you know? So we made it. It's almost that time. It's not going to take much longer. I'm so thankful to God that you're here and I'm here and we're here. And every now and then the door will swing and somebody else will walk through the doors. And that's just wonderful. But let me tell you, it's all about the Lord. It's really all about loving him. I heard the choir singing a couple of songs. And you know, when we remember God in our songs and we sing like we know what we're talking about, and we share back and forth this dialogue of music ministry, it does something to us. And, you know, I thank God that I can hear him in everything. And you know, that's a good life when you can hear God in everything. Man, I've been listening to God here lately, and, man, I'm hearing God in places that I was once afraid to hear God. And it's making me feel a little better about the thing, you know. And I'm just encouraging you tonight. We're going to take a few minutes to pray together, and we're going to take a few more minutes to shake some hands and hug some. I believe that tonight is an opportunity for some of us to bridge some gaps. I've always believed in fellowship. I've always believed that when you have an opportunity to hug somebody, and you know, some folk don't ever get hugged without a motive. Some folk that don't listen to me. Listen to me. Sometimes the only time folk put their arms around you or hug you or shake your hand is because they got a motive. But see, I like this free will love thing. You know, I like when we walk around and just hug each other because we ain't nothing in it but love. You know, ain't nobody trying to game nobody here. We ain't trying to get no date, nothing like that. We ain't trying to hook up. Nah, not right now. You know, we done married Tyrone and Erica. Now that's over. Eh? You ain't got to do that no more. They regular. Now, look at them. They don't even look the same no more. They done jumped the broom now. But, you know, I just like to see y'all doing it. I like to see y'all walking around and hugging each other. I don't always come out for it, but I can hear it. And a lot of times, I know some of you may not understand it, but when I'm back there, I'm praying for you to be doing what I believe you ought to be doing. And sometimes I don't need to see it happening. I need to believe that it's happening like I spiritually see it happening. See, when I don't have to watch, sometimes I don't have to see folk trying not to be hugged. And I don't see folks selectively hugging. I just see love in my own spiritual imagination. And that's good for the preacher. But I believe that when we have these opportunities tonight, on these closeout kind of nights, you know, there's certain services throughout the year that kind of transition us into another thing. You know, Resurrection Week and Passion Week is kind of like one of those times. And when we really focus on what happens leading up to Calvary. And then when we get to resurrection morning and it's 6 o'clock in the morning and folk get in the church and didn't get all that coal out their eye. You know, when you get there and somebody point at you and do like that, you know, you go, thank you, thank you. When you left a roller up in this part and somebody go, girl, let me get that. Oh, girl. You know, you come into that with a different attitude. See, everybody can't go to church 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't care what you call the service. Everybody ain't going. I mean, you know, this. I see y'all at 11. It'll still be Jesus, right? Yeah, 11. Okay. But when you come to certain services, Mother's Day is kind of like that. Mother's Day invokes in us a certain kind of something. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm not a mother. I have one. I've been married to one. And but I think that those kinds of services, and this is one of those kind of times. I think when people come here They want to kind of, what's that Whitney Houston movie, Waiting to Exhale? Some of y'all been holding your breath trying to get to the 31st. Some of y'all been fighting through some hell. See, if I can just make it to the end of the year to watch night service, then I pray that preacher better make me happy. But, whew, man. And some of us keep peeping at our watches because we want to know when midnight comes for real. So we can say, man, whew, that's over. And before you know it, it's starting again. So I believe that in these next few moments, what we're going to do is important. I think that it matters. I'm not saying that it has any real degree more than any other time we do what we're going to do, but this one's kind of different. And we walk out of here. It's kind of like the apostles, Peter, James, John, when they say, you know what, man, there's something special up here. We all just stay right where we are. Have you ever had that moment when you get to that place with God that you just want to stay right there? Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to have to walk out of here back into that. Can I just pitch a tent, build you an altar, and stay right here? How many of you ever been somewhere where you just didn't want to leave? Amen. Six of y'all. The rest of y'all ain't never left nowhere. Wherever it is. Sometimes, you go on vacation. Maybe there's a spot. There's a place where you go when you get there. And after about the second or third day, you start looking around and say, man, this is just great. Maybe I can get a job here. And you ever got to that place where you want to really start something right there? And reality comes eventually and says, you better go on. you got a job back there. You work at the paper mill. But I believe with God, every now and then he allows us a respite. God puts us in a place. We kind of just look around and everything looks different. Everything feels different. And you really want to take up residence right there. Well, prayer does that for me. And I want to ask you to pray with me. I want you to go there with me. I really like going to that prayer place. And I don't want you to go there with baggage. We have a rule here at the door tonight. Sergeant-at-Arms, spiritual Sergeant-at-Arms, is going to require that you come in empty-handed, but open-hearted. Don't come in here with that bill passed due, and I don't care what the doctor said yesterday. Maybe you had an appointment today. I don't care. You can't bring that in here right now. I just want you to come in trusting God. Let him massage your heart. Some of you came out of some bad stuff today. Some of you got a phone call just before you got dressed and kind of put you in a place, and you're thinking about stuff. You got to leave that outside for a minute. See, because I'm believing God that sometimes the thing that we're carrying into the situation keeps us from bringing out of it what God wants to give you. You can't get more when you're carrying too much. Come on, Holy Ghost. You come in here heavy laden and I know the Lord said that, but listen to what he said. He said, take my yoke, which means between the transition, you got to give up yours. And when he gives you his, you're going to be like, that's all I got to carry, Lord. Oh, yeah, go ahead. And you're going to feel so unfair giving him all your trouble. But that's what the writer said. Take your burdens to the Lord. But what I'm saying tonight is a little different for you. And you're saying, well, Reverend, I can't. Don't bring it. Because what I believe going to happen for you tonight is when you do go back to wherever you came from, it won't be there. At least not like it was. Some of us just need a little weight taken off. Lord, if you'd just take off a little pound or two of this thing, I'd be all right. I'm not saying, Lord, if you don't, I ain't gonna love you for it. But sometimes just a little leaven, How many of you ever had that moment with God where, Lord, I really don't need much, but just a little relief? Yeah, that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying, God, is I put myself in this situation. I really did it. I spent all that money. I went over my credit limit. I didn't eat right. I know I was a diabetic, Lord, and not a man telling me about what they might have to do. And I'm looking at you saying, come on, Lord. Y'all don't want to talk to me now. When I start talking about food, y'all get mad. You ate that stuff. You know you ain't have no business with that. Your blood pressure is what it is. Man told you to do a little more walking and get a little exercise, and you said, this how I is. Don't do that to yourself. Your marriage in trouble. It's been in trouble. It didn't just get that way, but you bear some responsibility for that. You know, you said some things you didn't have to say. You did some things you didn't have to do. Your children, all out of whack. You bear some responsibility. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, as a parent, I refuse to let any child outdo me. I'm talking about I can't do nothing with him. Oh, yes, I can. They may put me in jail for what I do, but I can do something with him. But don't bring that in here. We ain't going to worry about that tonight. But you hear what I'm saying? I just want to walk in the room with God tonight, in my prayer room with God, open. Because I need him to do some stuff for me. And it's 2012, and we're going to transition. Now, I ain't bringing, can I be messed up grammatically? I ain't bringing that junk with me into 2013. I'm dumping it off, so y'all better watch out walking behind me, because it's going to be some garbage. Because I'm going in, I'm going in like I want to come out, free. So I just want you tonight, if you just bear with me, we're going to walk early tonight. If you'll just come on and pray with us, grab somebody and say, listen, we're going to go up there free. Help your neighbor get rid of some stuff. We're going to pray first. I know. You thinking that means we're going? No, no. It's a little different, ain't it? But man, I believe prayer is so powerful that the more of it I get an opportunity to engage in, the better off my life's going to be. Man, I've been praying about some things for y'all, and I want y'all to agree with me for what I'm praying for you. Let me tell you something. When you got me praying for you, it's always to your advantage. I don't want nothing to hurt and to harm you. I don't want you to miss. I want you to be wealthy. I would that you prosper in the Lord and be in good health. Been calling y'all name, putting it under my pillow. Been riding around with it in my pocket. Been writing down names. I had me a list, just like Santa Claus. But mine didn't have no naughtiness to it. It was... When I engaged upon your faces, I saw things in some of you, and I wrote your name down. I kept writing your name down. I wouldn't even tell you about it because I didn't want you to mess it up for me. Sometimes you know how it is. You know how back in the day, we don't do it much anymore. Whenever you were going to run to the store, you'd run over to your neighbor and say, listen, I'm going to run to the store. You need me to get anything? And you wind up getting more for them than you were getting for yourself. And then they tell me, I'll pay you later. You say to yourself, that was a bad idea. Now you can't get what you want to get because you got to pay for what they got. That's why I wouldn't tell y'all I was praying for y'all. Some things you would have overdid it. And I didn't want you to, because you would have got particular about crazy stuff sometimes. Not all of you. Some of you would have been point on, but I just wrote some names down. I thought... To myself, I said, you know, God, if we can do this in secret, it'd be amazing what you'll do in the open. And I saw God blessing y'all. I saw folk coming on through. The Lord said, don't tell them we did it. Let them think they did it by themselves. That way they'll get stronger and they'll grow up. But you're not alone with Leroy. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't just got your back. I got you covered. See, it's different when somebody got your back. got you covered. My military folk, they'll help you with that one. But the hand you're holding tonight, again, they're always so special. So I thought we would ask God tonight openly, free. No weights, no concerns. Some of you still got them looks on your faces about stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you now, God doesn't mind you leaving it out there. He knows where it is. It's not going to be lost. But don't you feel better not carrying it right now for a moment? I know that theoretically that's all we're doing, but realistically I know. But theoretically, can't we just kind of feel like, man, I ain't got that to worry about. My daddy don't have cancer right now. That's how I feel. Because I'm convinced that my faith is stronger than cancer. Even for him. He's not here. He don't know. We ain't got to tell him. But I want in my mind to believe that for these few minutes, he's enjoying a cancer-free moment. Because we left it somewhere. And we forgot where it is. I don't even know what I did with it. Some of y'all know how to lie like that. You know, you tell people, I don't know. I ain't seen it in a while. Marriage is not my problem right now. Finances, I don't know what I did with them past due notices. I don't know what I did with the letter. I don't know. I'm just free. Some of you ain't gonna understand why I'm free like I am, but just for these few prayer moments, I got too much money. My house too big. My car too new. My children too good. My husband too perfect. My wife too perfect. My church is too perfect. I'm just free. Everything I see is like God sees it. You remember when God made everything, he stepped back every night and said, and that's good. Look at the name and say, I see good. Look better, don't you? See, you want to keep looking at it like that, don't you? There's a place called Faith Land. You know, Disney World got all them lands. They got all them lands. We got a new one now. Faith Land. Everything looks good here. Ain't nobody sick there. Ain't nobody begging and humming and bumming. Ain't no children running around getting in the way. Ain't no arguments. Ain't no bill problems. We're in Faith Land. I see things that are not as though they were. That's God. I want you to do me a favor very quickly. We're going to go. I'm not going to bother you much longer. I know when I'm getting on folk nerves. You all going to have to learn how to fake it a little better than that. Do me a favor. Let it go. I've been trying to pep you up to do it. So let's just let it go. Let's do this. I want every husband to find his wife. I want every son, every daughter to find your mom and daddy. I want every family to get closer to family. Brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law. However you're connected, get closer. Look around because some of your folk done came in late. Come on, don't be afraid. It's all right. If you got a cousin, go get close to your cousin. If you got a anything that gets you connected, get connected. We're going to seal the deal. There you go. See, that's fine. It's okay. Amen. There you go. You've been telling folk that's your cousin. Go on, stand by him. You're acting like that now. Amen. Get connected. You know, and what are you doing, Pastor? Well, there's a bumper sticker we've been riding around looking at. It says families that pray together. So we're creating solidarity. And see, when you get close to people, you start feeling things. I believe all of us have this sense of things. You ever looked at somebody and said, something ain't right here? I believe that's God saying minister. So we're not going to miss that opportunity. Now you're getting closer. You got people lined up together. I want you to let them know that it's okay to let it go. Amen. That's right. That's what you do. Tell them. Don't leave nothing to chance. You know what we're going to do going forward? We're going to stop assuming anything. And we're going to start saying. Because the Bible says, out of our mouth, we speak both blessing. We're not even worried about the other one. We're just going to speak blessing. So we're going to tell folk, let it go. When we see folk going forward in 2013, when God gives us that little inkling, we're going to go over there and say, listen, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. You ain't got to know nothing else. We ain't going to be nosy going forward. We're just going to be more cooperative. Okay? So heads bowed, very gently. God, our Father, we need you in this room. It has been a long year. But we learned, Lord, in the course of this 2012 to take it one day at a time. And it made a difference for us because we were able to dissect some things and keep it in a more manageable condition. So we're standing tonight, Lord, in this worship service. We call it Watch Night. We come, Lord, as a celebration, culmination of a lot of things. And we came in this prayer moment tonight with nothing. And it feels pretty good to stand here without giving something a name calling something that has been bothering us again, because sometimes, Lord, when we even talk about it, it does something. So right now, we're just standing in a faith place, and it feels mighty good. We're not going to call nothing tonight. We're just standing in a faith place with people who love us and believe us for what we believe for ourselves. And we're touching and we're sharing. Some of us got sweaty palms, and some of us got a little clammy, and some of us just shaking our head because we sure needed this. Some of us, Lord, this is the closest we've been with our family in a long time. We've been afraid to hold hands. We've been too angry to hold hands. We've been separated by silliness. Now the pastor done made us come stand together, and we're realizing how much it feels good to do it. So we kind of want to remind ourselves going forward to do this more often. Stand with our sons and our daughters, our husbands and our wives. And even tonight, Lord, if we're standing alone, we know that a future day is coming that we won't have to be alone. We're going to not just save our marriage. We're going to spiritualize our marriage. Spiritualize our finance. We're going to spiritualize our health. In fact, Lord, we're going to make it holy unto you. Because we've come to admit tonight that we need a little more holiness. And with holiness, we get a little more wholeness. You asked that man by the pool, would you be made whole? And Lord, before he knew it, you were giving him some simple things to do that he didn't realize he could have did it all alone. So God, we're going to pick up our mats tonight. We're going to stop worrying about the cliches of life and start dealing with faith. We're going to stop trying to do what somebody else said they did and do what you tell us to do for us. Because we were created in your image and likeness. And every now and then, Lord, we're going to step back and see that it is good. You made everything perfect for us. We're going to eat better. We're going to exercise better. We're going to worship better, serve better, live better, love better, listen better. We just going to better everything. God, in this moment tonight, as we're standing here, we're going to say this, thy will be done. Lord, you're going to have to do some new things in us. And we're just saying tonight that we think it's time. We didn't come here tonight, Lord, just to say we were in church when folk asked us, where were you when the new year came in? Because it sounded good to say that. But, Lord, we're going to live it now, Lord. We're going to be in church, not just in a building, but in the body of Christ. We welcome you in our lives afresh. Pray, God, that all that we do going forward, we do it free. So, God, tonight we release those things that we left outside this prayer moment. We were told not to bring them in, but they're outside of this prayer moment, and you knew we left them there. There were names and situations that we didn't bring in here because we wanted to be free in faith land. But you're going to have to handle them, God. You're going to have to handle them. We're not going to even name them. We're not going down that catalog. We're just saying to you, God, that you know it. We know that what you know, you're faithful to do something about it. So, God, thank you tonight for putting my family around me. And thank you tonight for friends. And thank you, Lord, for this feeling I'm feeling. Lord, I'm taking you serious tonight. I forgot some stuff already. And, Lord, don't bring it to my remembrance. I want to feel like this forevermore. David reminds us that he just wanted his joy back. Nehemiah, when he talked to the people at the wall celebration, he said, listen, always remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's how we're going to press 2013. We're going in the strength that is accompanied with joy. God, make us happy again. And bring to our remembrance, Lord, the wonderful things about Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you tonight that we don't have to name nothing. We don't have to call not one condition. We don't have to call one child's name. We just came into Lord tonight, Lord, to say thank you for letting me come into a free moment. And I bless your name. God, you're so wonderful. I thank you. And now, Lord, as we get ready to go back to our seat and continue this worship. We just want you to do us one more favor. And Lord, that is just one simple favor. And we feel kind of silly asking it, but Lord, would you do us just one more favor? Pray for us. Because see, Lord, when you pray for us, we know that that's some kind of prayer. Some folk don't even know you pray for them, Lord, but we know tonight that you do pray for us. That's what ever making intercession is about. See, some folk think that just means you're talking about sin, but no. You're talking about us to the betterment of us. You said the Father knows what we have need of even before we ask. Lord, pray for us. And we know that we'll be in good standing. This is our prayer. And we bless you for the moment. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. 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 Amen and amen. Look at your name and say, that felt good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to move on. God bless you. Come on, give him some praise on your way back to your seat. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Matter of fact, while you're doing, just walk around and hug some folks. We'll make this our fellowship thing. Just shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, say something nice to them. Take a few minutes. You can do it. Keep on going. We got time. We got time. Amen. Tell them it's just good to see you. Amen. 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 Come on, let's bless God. Let's put our hands together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to get ready to do something. Sit down for just a second. We're going to present to the Lord our offering tonight. Now, I really believe that the spirit of giving is essential to the spirit of receiving. Now, let me explain it to you, because sometimes we get things mixed up from the time I say it to the time it gets to your ear. God has already given you everything in such that he has already given to you. Giving back to him is easy. So don't make it difficult. You know, how many of you remember when you were a child, you had like two pieces of bubble gum, maybe three, and somebody would come along and you give away one, and when you get down to what you think going to be the last one, you say, but I ain't got but one more. See, what you forgot is at one time you did have three. You had more than you've really been asked to give. And see, God has always given us more pieces of bubble gum than we realize. When you consider what God has already given you, you've got plenty. And he gives it to you in the ways that you need it at a given time. So giving to God should never be complicated. So don't ever think that, you know, if I do what the pastor asked me to do, I ain't going to have. No, you're going to have. And what I love about God is he always keeps his promise. He always keeps his promise. And I remember a time in my life when giving to God seemed like, you know, this ain't working for me. But when I committed myself to it, I saw how God blesses me. And so I want to encourage you tonight. This is our final giving session of 2012 to bless the Lord, and to don't be afraid to bless him. Some of us make up our mind way early about what we're going to put in church. And I want you to take that out of your mentality. Stop saying what I'm going to put in church, or what I'm going to put in the offering. Here's what you're doing. You're giving to God.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you are. I know we've got this, I see what I'm doing mentality about everything. But see, we live by our faith, not by our sight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I really am convinced that when I come around that table, I'm giving to God. I don't see Sister Price or Deacon McKenzie. I don't even concern myself with what they do back yonder. I'm giving to God. So don't say, well, I'm going to go up here and put this. No, don't say that to yourself. Because see, when you say that, you minimize the relationship between you and God. Believe in your spirit that you're putting this into the hand of God. He put it in your hands. So let's put that aside and let's remember we're giving to God. Amen. So tonight we want to overflow give. We want to bless God. I'm believing God that we can reach about a $5,000 mark tonight. I really believe we can close on a real high note. See, some of y'all took a deep breath right there. Let me help you get your mind fixed. If I said to you I was going to give you $5,000, you'd have a different spirit. So don't think we can't give $5,000 to God. That's easy. It's us. Y'all got a lot of learning to do. I'm going to sign on to do the teaching. So let's trust God for it. Amen. I really believe that. I really believe that we can change our mentality about, well, I'm going to put this in church. And some of us need to reach in another pocket, really. Some of us need to pull our checkbook back out and say, you know what? That's right. I'm trying to give God $10. Come on, it's crazy. You know, I can't give God $10. I'm giving God $100. Amen. And I'm giving God my tithe and offering from yesterday, because I was otherwise occupied, crying my eyes out. But I'm bringing it back to God. I said, Lord, I'm here. And I'm happy to do it.
Say that.
Amen. So let's just bless the Lord. Amen. Remember, we're free now. We're not worried about no bills. We ain't worried about no doctor notices. We just coming in to bless God with all our loving. Amen. 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 Come on, trustees and persons who are receiving tonight as they're giving to God. Amen. Amen. Sit down, says Price. Come on, Brother Melvin. Sit down. You folk tired of seeing you all the time. Free, there you go. That's how you do it. Amen. God bless you. Y'all better have a sense of humor going forward. It's better to laugh than to cry. Amen. Let's stand on our feet together. We get ready to come around. God bless all of you. Let's give to God tonight out of love, because he gave it to us in love. And he didn't cheat us when he gave it to us. We're not going to cheat him in this moment. Father in heaven, we are thankful that the moment has come. Tonight we're giving into the ministry of your church, and we're giving into the future. We're planting seed in good soil. Come this far by faith, and we're going to give in our faith. And want to see this church growing by leaps and bounds. We know that it takes a people. And Lord, we thank you for trusting us as good stewards. So give multiplication opportunities in this moment of giving as we reach out and join each other in this moment. Let there be no division in our giving. Let none give grudgingly. Let none give out of necessity, but let us give cheerfully. Even as we're changing our mind and we're thinking about doing even greater, let us celebrate that together. Some of us, Lord, this will be the first time we really made a big move in our giving, and we're going to feel good about that, and we're going to remember it every time going forward that, man, it did feel good that one time I did it, and I'm going to do it again. And forevermore, my giving going to change. Because, Lord, when you give good. James reminds us that their good and perfect gifts come down from our Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless these hands who receive, that they be good stewards and managers. And God, take us to overflow. In the name of Jesus. Redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Look at a neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm going to do it good.
I'm going to do it good.
Let's pray together. God, our Father, we are so thankful that we are here in this moment. Lord, we set everything else into a place of unconcern, that we would here focus on what you're saying to us now. God, we pray that you give us hearing, listening ears. Give us a mind that is receptive and a heart that is massaged by your word. We simply ask, Lord, that you speak to us. We need to hear what you are saying to the church. God, I pray that all other things would be non-existent now. Nothing will be able to disturb our moment together. I need this moment, God, and that's why I came tonight. I certainly appreciate all of the other things that have happened in this moment, but in this moment, I need to hear what you are saying. So I pray, God, that my ears would be tuned to your voice. Lord, use our preacher to rightly divide the word of truth and help him, but Lord, help me through him. And God, I pray that when I have heard what you are saying, that Lord, I'll do what you said. Please, God, let your word change my life. And let my life certainly be changed by your word. Forgive me of my sins and have mercy upon me, I do pray. Recognizing, God, that only you can do it. So, Lord, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God some praise together. We're going to bless his holy name.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Bless him. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Would you grab your Bibles and turn with me in the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to see what God is saying to us in this closeout celebration time. Amen. We're standing, but for a moment, it's not a lot of reading, but just for a moment. In Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin our consideration at the 12th verse, and we'll just go over those. Verse 12 of chapter 3 through verse 16. I have a New Living Translation, and I want to read from that tonight, Pastor Younger. Pray that you all will follow it, what you have. It says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Oh, that's right where we are, isn't it? I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. In my mind, I had a thought, and I wanted to work with it, that focuses on verse 16. It says, but we must be sure to obey the truth we have already learned. God bless you. You may be seated. Another version of the New Living Translation, which is written by another or published by another company, it says, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. We must hold on to the progress we have already made. I stood here in my mind, like I said back in October, and I saw this opportunity, and I said to myself, boy, this is going to be good. This is going to work for us. And I wanted to make it to the 31st. I tried to not preach prematurely at some other time, because this sermon just kind of reverberated in me over and over again. And God said, no, I told you the 31st. And I said to him, well, Lord, what if some of us don't make it to the 31st? He said, that's for me to concern myself with, not you. And he said, you will preach to those on that night that I want you to preach to. Nobody will die before they hear what I'm saying. Nobody will be absent that's supposed to be there. But you just wait till the 31st. So I'm standing here to tell you that in just a few moments, a few ticks of the clock, you made it. And that's a shout right there that you made it. You don't have to wait on Brother Tyler to come back to the organ to know it's time to shout, but you made it. You're close enough now, you know, you can kind of see it from here. But after all of the things that you were concerned with when we did this last time, you made it. And the reality is, for all of us, making it is different. Amen. It's not the same. And that's one of the things God wanted me to tell you tonight, that you don't have to concern yourself with doing it like nobody else. You just do it like he wants it done. And your difference is that we reach stages of success at a different time. Everybody is not here in the same state of mind, but we're here in our state of mind. Y'all will catch that in a minute. You made it though. You are in a place and your it is different from everybody else's it. You know, and maybe in these closing moments of 2012, you can kind of do like the old saint said, my soul looks back in wonder how I made it over. Some of us are here tonight with more pieces than we thought we were going to have when we got here. We got more hair than we thought we were going to have. We still got our nails. We still got the car. We still got the house. Some of us last time were concerned about what wasn't going to be there, but it's still there. So you made it. Some of us were looking for a job back then, or some of us were just trying to make one more day back then, but 365 of them rascals done gone by and you made it. There's a shout that goes with that, because the truth of the matter is, let me see, I'll just try to keep it churchy. They say, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come. Am I right about it? No, you didn't hear me. I said, you have already come. Amen. You got to learn how to not worry about what's coming and shout about where you've already come. Say amen, somebody. You survived another calendar experience. You've done it. You know, my grandmother used to say that you shouldn't flip ahead in the calendar. You know, there was some kind of sin attached to that. I couldn't find in the Bible, but she said you couldn't do that, Rev. Tucker. She said, don't be looking into the future. I'm just trying to find where I can mark my birthday and see when it's, you know, that kind of thing. I want to know what day the 4th of July really is on. Not that 4th of July can't come on a Friday, you know, but you made it through this calendar experience and you're in pretty good shape. Okay. I'll make it churchy again. As well as it is, it's all right. You know, it ain't been Sunday every day. You know, we haven't shouted every day, but you can shout this day. Y'all missing that. See, you're concerning yourself with things that are former, and you're not excited about the things that are yet to come. You kick 2012 to the curb. Now you listen, all things have passed away. Y'all still missing the shout. You are in a transition moment that should bring some energy to your worship. You have this moment of authorization now where you can shout with the voice of triumph. Some folk had already said you won't be at the next watch night. As sick as you were and as low as you felt, you didn't even know you were going to make a watch night, but you did. And thank God that everything that the devil throwed at you, you were able to duck, dodge, weave, and bob, and you pressed anyhow, and you fooled him one more time. So we are, you're there. And personally, I,
I personally want to put this one out there. Let me see, Reverend White, if I can make it a little more churchy. Me personally, I thought about this one. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah, them that the Lord has delivered with the voice of triumph, them that have been through some things. If anybody going to shout, the redeemed ought to be shouting. Am I right about it? And then notice now, he said, let the redeemed. He doesn't say anything about how redemption came. He doesn't say anything about what we had to be redeemed from. He just says, I know you've been redeemed, so you ought to say something. Am I right about it? Look at the name and say, I know you got something to say. He look at you. Look at you with your spirit filled, overcoming self. You sitting up in here tonight. Yeah, you've been through some things. You had to change some stuff, you know. You're not as fast as you used to be. You're not as quick in the mind. You know, you got to take your time, but that's all right. You got time to take. God has been good to you. Amen. This ain't no hocus pocus. This ain't no maybe. You can look back and say, I did that. And God is so awesome tonight. Psalm writer said, listen, when you look at your life, you'll find that God was always there. Yeah. Every step you've made, every move, God was always right there. And let me help you understand sometimes. Even if you colored outside the line, God said, that's a good picture. Amen. Look at the name. I've been outside the line. I'm telling you now. And how many of you realize that every now and then when you get outside the line, you can change the whole landscape of the picture? Say amen, somebody. We our lives, listen to me tonight, our lives are not paint by number. All of us are different, but we're the same. Oh, y'all didn't hear me then. All of us, listen, I'm telling you now that you all make a good fruit salad. Some of y'all is the nuts. Some of y'all the pineapples. Some of y'all the nuts. Oh, I said that already. Look at them and say, you know he right. He reminds, he said, listen, you gotta recognize that there's certain realities that we're dealing with. And he says, it's something to recognize that you haven't done some things. We're gonna get there. He says, you gotta recognize that, you haven't done some things. But you have done some things. Grandma would say that we've got to learn to give credit where credit is due. Look at them and say, I ain't all bad. I've done some bad, but I ain't all bad. I thank God that my realities are my reality. Yeah, I don't have to make up no story. I got some story. They won't let me tell them in church, but I ain't got to make up no story. Come on, talk to me, y'all. You sit by some folk that's on the witness protection program right now. God said, if you don't tell it, I'll protect you. But if you open your mouth, it's out there. Amen. And reality is, when we come to this moment in our lives, it's almost midnight. When you come to this moment, you've got to recognize that it's your time to sing. That's part of what I wanted to tell you. It's your time to sing because your song is your song. Yeah, yeah. That's why we sing unto the Lord them new songs. Because he had done marvelous things. See, some of y'all sitting there looking at me like you all sophisticated and that kind of thing. No, you're not in one of them high-pitched choirs. You in one of them ugly-faced choirs. Yeah, come on now. We're not in one of them high-pitched choirs. You know what I'm talking about? Them high-pitched choirs that sing, No, you in an ugly face choir. You in one of them choir that folk, when they supposed to stop singing, they keep on singing in the church, get with you, because they know why you singing. When you sing a song, they know that's the song you ought to be singing. When you sing them kind of song, they say, yeah, that's her life right there. Our songs are our testimony. And it's our time to sing because the truth of the matter is, can't nobody tell it like you gonna tell it. Am I right about it? Our time to sing. That's why he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. People who ain't been through nothing ought to shut up. Amen. You ever heard folk talking? You say, hey, we know what he's talking about. You want to get the mic and say, excuse me, I know she was up there reading the script, but I am the script. See, I know what I'm, and the reality of our lives, there are some victorious moments that will be revealed in the vibrancy of our testimony. God blesses us tonight. We're just in a place where we really want to say some things to God, and we want to be able to hear some things from God going forward. So that's where we are tonight. And listen to me, when your heart is heavy, don't let that discourage you. You know, it's been a long year. I tell you what, it's been a long year. I remember as I was sitting down a few nights ago putting some refreshing points in here, I thought about, man, we just did watch night. So I went back and pulled up the watch night sermon from last year. I said, man, we just did that. I started looking at this one and looking at that one. I said, maybe I'll just use that one again. And Lord said, that's not what I said. I said, okay, we'll go. But my point is, you know, we're sitting here tonight in a place of opportunity. This is an opportunity for you. No, don't miss the moment, because last time you did this, it was some opportunities. Some of us walked out last year, you know, talking about what we was going to do. And I looked at the sermon. I said, I'm not going to remind them of the points that we talked about. But one of the things that we did talk about last time was just about doing better. And some of y'all didn't do better. But here it is. God is saying to you tonight, let's be honest. And when you look at your life, you need to recognize that you only going to get so many shouting moments. You don't want to miss them. Trying to be cute. You don't want to miss it, because you're going to look back one day and say, man, when I could have shouted back then. Some shouts are layaway shouts. Say amen, somebody. And I need to remind you, and I'm going to shove you one more time, that the word said, let the redeemed say it. Because you don't know when your next bad moment is coming. Some of us in the room tonight miss some shout moments. You can't get them back now. You know, they're gone. And that's why when we started advocating that the church understand how to live one day at a time, it shook some of us. Shook some of us to be confined to a 24-hour period. And then the pastor talking about every midnight celebrate and get into another mood. Yeah, that's the reality of it, because the truth of the matter is you can't keep spending the rest of your life talking about what might have been, what you could have done. Listen, if you were so equipped to have done it, you would have got it done. But thank God there's a thing called morning. The Bible said that he renews us every day. Amen. See, there you go. You missed the shout moment right there. When you get up in the morning, if you get up, that's a new day. That's a new opportunity to do something grand and glorious for God. Forget about that you didn't do it yesterday. This is a new day. And what you do is you take the faults and failings from yesterday and make them motivational and say, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm not going to let the day go by without blessing my God. I'm not going to let the day go by without kissing my wife, hugging my husband, loving my children. I'm not going to let the day go by that we can have a Sandy Hook experience in Lynchburg and wish we had done other things. This is a new day. You don't have to wait to watch night. You get a watch night every night. He renews our blessing. And everybody knows that every now and then we mismanage some things. But every time God wakes you up, you can say, Lord, I promise that I'm going to do better this time. Amen. So he reminds us. He said, well, you know, old things have passed away. He talks about that. He gets to the point. We're almost there. Happy New Year to y'all. It's 1 minute past that thing y'all was waiting on. You could have shouted right there. I put a note here, when midnight come, give them a moment. Okay, y'all didn't need it. Okay, I'll go on. Two of y'all needed it. Okay, thank you. But here, we're going. He said, listen, I'm just being honest with myself. He noticed the things he talked about. He says, I don't mean to say that. Now he realizes that there are some things that didn't happen. And I recognize that in the body of Christ, that there are some things that didn't happen, not just in a pastoral sense, but just in my humanity. Man, there's some things I struck out to do that didn't get done. Amen. And I'm not going to cry to the east nor cry to the west, but I do know that I can do better. And I don't want to believe that I pastor a church where I'm the only one who want to do better. This would be the time for deacons, trustees, and ministers to shout and say, Reverend, we with you, or something like that. I mean, y'all took too long. It'd be another chance down further, though. So the reality is, what happens is that we're standing now in this moment. We flipped it. Now we're in this moment where it's a what we gonna do. So I sit down, Pastor Young, you know, preachers, Minister White, Minister Dixon, other preachers, Reverend Tucker. I hadn't given you a title yet. You know that. I know y'all waiting on it. But I sat down. Here's what I did. I sat down, Deacon Anderson, back in October. And I said, okay, what are you going to say? Because, you know, usually y'all like my titles. You know, when I give my title, Sandra, they smile and say, ooh. So I sit down and I said, okay, we're gonna work verses 12 through 16. Lord said, this is what I want you to read. Because I really wanted to preach something else, and this was October. And Lord said, no, here's where I want you to go. And I said, okay. So I looked at it. I said, well, okay, which verse, Lord, do we emphasize in the preaching? So I looked at verse 12. Verse 12, Lord, I read that. And I came up with a bunch of titles based on what verse I would make my emphasis. You know, preachers, y'all know how this is. You take a verse and you build a central theme around the preaching, and the congregation says, oh, I see that. And so as I did, I had a cut list. All these titles ended up falling on the floor, and I ended up with the one I got now. I said, okay, Lord, what do we do verse 12? And if we emphasize the preaching on verse 12, the title was going to be, I Can't Lie About How I've Been Living. See, that's what y'all do. That's it, Reverend. They like that. But the Lord said, no, we're not going to do it. So I said, okay, verse 13. So if I did verse 13, it was going to be, I'm limping, but I'm living. See, that was good. When I said, no. Because look at the verse. The verse says, now watch this. Verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I already attained it. So you can't lie about how you've been living. Verse 13 says, brothers and sisters, I'm not all I should be. So I'm limping, but I'm still living. So verse 14 said, I strain to reach, watch this now, the end of the race and receive the prize. The title then was going to be, okay, that's enough. Thank God. No, it's right there. He said, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. Okay, that's enough. Thank God. That's a good title. Verse 15. I said, well, Lord, let me do verse 15. Verse 15 says, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. Another year's grace, but I still didn't get it. That's a good sermon right there. You preachers go ahead and use all four of them because I don't need them tonight. But I settled on this. Here's the title, Tyrone. The title is, look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, watch this. That we've got to be very careful, watch this, be sure, watch this now, that we obey the truth that we've already learned. But what he really says that I like, again, because I told you there's a different version in the New Living Translation, two different versions. The one I went with was the one God said, go to. He said, no, look at your other Bible in the New Living Translation. It says, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. Brother Chris, the title that goes on this CD is To Be Continued. Amen. That's all you need to understand because, see, he says that he who begun a great work in you. See, this is what y'all missed the shout. A long time ago, not just on a watch night. But see, some of us are veterans of many wars. God started something in us a long time ago. And Paul says, listen, the race ain't over yet. It doesn't end because midnight comes. It doesn't end because we flip a calendar. So what we're saying to ourselves in a triumphant shout is to be continued. That's why the writer says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. That's a mantra for those of us who want to make something happen. You got to remember that every day of your life is just to be continued. When you leave work, when you go to bed, when you walk out of a thing and walk into a thing, just remember it is to be continued. When the devil is giving you hell and you feel like you're laying on the canvas, just look up at him, take a deep breath and say, to be continued. I might be down this round, but there's some rounds to go yet. And the fact of the matter is, I'm fighting to the finish. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm not here. And when the Lord said that, I said, Lord, I like that, because the truth of the matter is some of us feel like our failings are our finality. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all were told that now that you messed up, oh, you done now. But see, you can go back to that situation and say to be continued. There are some things that you got to walk away from just to catch your breath. Nudge your neighbor and say, I ain't no quitter. No, I ain't no quitter, because what he helps us to understand is that there are some situations where you've got to look at your situation. Why did he just say that's too deep for me? He said, just hold on to the progress you've already made. You didn't just get involved. You didn't just start being a husband. You didn't just become a wife. You made a lot of progress. So what if your marriage jacked up? That's a lot of jacked up. That's all right. You didn't just get that way. You didn't just start working. You didn't just get bills. You didn't just get it. You are in a process. And you've done all right so far. Listen, that's why the old folks say, as well as it is. You got to hold on to the progress you've already made. Listen, you want to get credit for the whole thing. Y'all missed that. Because you're a part of the whole thing. I think it was George Bush. Dan Rather interviewed George Bush several years back. And he was giving George Bush all this grief about when he was the CIA director and all things. And George Bush looked at him and said, you can't judge me by one moment in my life. And he's right. Look at the name and say, I'm more than one moment. So, you are, oh boy, I feel good now. I'm coming better. You are in a to be continued state of life. Let me help you. You didn't have to just get right here to recognize what your year been like. And now that it's already 2013, you ain't got no idea what your year gonna be like. But every time you get up, just remember to be continued. In fact, let me do this for you. When you get home tonight, get you one of them dry erase markers or something and write on the mirror, to be continued. So every morning and every time you look in there, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it is, go to the mirror and remind yourself to be continued. I don't particularly care about the bad things that are going to happen. I don't particularly want to get overly involved in the sensitive matters of your life. But I do want you to know that there is a God who is still in control. And as long as God is God, to be continued. It ain't over. He reminds us. He said, well, okay, well, we got this. We're going to continue. And now here's the question. Here's the question. We're going to go now. Here's the question. How do I go on? What am I going to do now? Well, I mulled it over. I thought about it. I said, well, if we're going to re-enlist, we might as well re-enlist for some bonuses, some benefits. You don't sign up and don't get nothing. Amen. Look at the name and say, there's something in there. There's got to be something in there. No, nobody stays around for nothing. Y'all missed the shout. He's still with you, honey, because you got something. You still going to your job as much as you say you hate it? Because there's something in that. You still taking the medicine as much as you say it ain't working? Because you know it's something in that. You still putting up with some folk. Don't look at nobody right now. But you still putting up with some folk. Because you know that you're a good judge of goodness. Some of y'all might have to go home tonight and make a phone call or text somebody. Don't text them now. And tell them, say, the pastor told me to be continued. I thought you were leaving. No. You ought to bless God. I went to church last night. Reverend told me to tell you to be continued. And make them look at you like, what you mean by that? Say, just keep it holy. And look back at them with that, you better know, look. So what does he say? What does he say? He says, well, you're going to have to hold on to that. Why? Because there are some sacred things and spiritual things that are out there for you. When you look at your life, please understand that it's still about acquiring and applying. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you got to get it before you can do something with it. That would have been a good title right there, Reverend Younger, but I passed on that too. Paul is saying to the church, listen to him now, he's saying to them that there are